When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, we're back with another episode of Playing with Squirrels. This week we're talking about Season 2, Episode 17, On the Air, which debuted on February 10th, 1995. I am joined once again with my good friend Crispy, who you might remember from at least one episode in Season 1. And earlier in this season, we talked about the newspaper-inspired episode Notorious. So, of course, we're going to sit down and also talk about the radio station episode of Season 2 of Boy Meets World. No, I was paying attention, don't worry. The radio station episode of Boy Meets World on the air. So, we already kind of went through your resume of qualifications.
My pedigree.
So this is the one thing I didn't know particularly. I know you do the newspaper. I know you do the broadcast stuff, which is, for our high school experiences, was film. Right. Does your high school have a radio station?
We do not, no. Okay. I mean, we have a TV studio. You know, it's similar to our high school, the way that was set up. So we never had radio. I don't have any radio experience, really, other than doing this podcast and some podcasts we've done on Dork Daily.
Why are you here? I have a radio show. I have a radio host doing an episode of this that I could have pulled on for this episode.
Hey, I don't schedule these things. So,
this is true. This is my fuck-up. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
I thought I had the most qualified person for this episode. Turns out I was wrong.
Well, you know, scheduler's not very qualified either.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll fire them.
Fire, yes.
So this episode kicks off. We got George Feeney running the school radio station. Good laughs right out the front. I have like four different quotes from him just from the early parts of this episode. He introduces Alvin Mias, I think his name is, as his wacky sidekick. He introduces himself and he just goes, "That's enough, Alvin. No one likes a Mike Hogg." And then the sweet sounds of Michael Bolton, followed by one of my favorites as a child, Mr. Perry Como. It's fantastic. It's a great Feeney's out of touch moment on the show.
I laughed at he says later, like, "Here's something that you kids will like, Menudo."
Yeah.
And I have a personal connection to that because my family knew Menudo. They knew Ricky Martin when he was like wee high.
Wait, for real? I never knew that. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, I could have assumed, but that would have been very racist of me.
My grandparents. It was more my grandparents.
Okay.
So when I never met Menudo, but my aunt was very, very into them. So in the early 80s, my grandparents would, like, set up events for them to come perform, you know, in the area. And so for a long time for Christmas, we always got, like, Menudo dolls, you know, which is really funny looking back at it now. But yeah, no, they knew Ricky. My Nana gave Ricky a jacket that she made. So it's a weird thing, connection that I have.
Very strange.
Yeah.
You're a strange man. We were in high school together during the Ricky Martin boom. I don't understand how this never came up.
I don't know, because
you could have gotten laid. Ricky Martin owns a piece of clothing for my family.
I was once removed from it, so
yeah.
It wasn't like my immediate family.
Dude, I'm like four times removed from things that I'll take credit for if it gets me in with somebody else.
Yeah, well,
I shouldn't have admit that on the air.
Yeah, good.
I'm really ruining my credibility.
Okay, you could edit this.
No, I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
But
good call.
So the radio station's the A plot of this episode. The B plot is Eric needing money. Mm. There's a great line again, Morgan just killing it. So Alan asks, "What happened to your allowance?" And Morgan just goes, "He blew it on babes."
And I mean, young Morgan was definitely the funniest.
So funny, snarky.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, I was having some flashbacks when Sean and Corey are struggling to get an interview out of the one girl. He goes, doing a fundraiser for the dance. I bet that's exciting. She's like, nah, we just ran out of money. Like, I've done those interviews in my early podcasting days. You're just like, please give me anything.
I have been involved in interviews like that. And really what kind of, you know, no, I don't teach radio. But the idea of putting on a program that's interesting to students, that's what I do every day.
Yeah.
And so when I teach a class where we produce a show every week, in the studio that they come up with, they have different segments. It's called the midday show because that's when we put it on the air. We have the morning shows, the morning announcements. And I tell them that, you know, make something that you would like to watch, even if you weren't in this class.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how you appeal. And kind of seeing Corey and Sean try to find that appeal where it's, you know, first it's very, very boring, and then it's kind of very, very inappropriate. And then they, you know, in the end, it's you know, authenticity, honesty, that's really what gets people interested. And that's
and we'll come back to that because I have a lot of feelings about that ending scene.
Oh, okay. All right.
But no, I love their arc. One of my favorite podcasts, The Flop House, whenever they do a live episode, they open the floor up to questions. And the one co-host always says, all right, before you walk up to the mic, I need you all to do something and think, before you ask this question, if I was sitting in the audience and someone else was asking this question, would I care? If the answer is no, sit your ass back down because we can only take so many questions.
It's a great place to start, you know, for sure.
So one of the running jokes in this particular episode is Ludwig and the German Hour.
Yeah.
Every time makes me laugh when they bring him up, especially though the first phone call that they talk where he says something about strudel in the Philadelphia.
The line that got me is when I can't do the accent, but he says, "You may call up with your requests. I don't take them."
Yeah. I have that line written down too. Oh, it's such a good line.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, I'm going to bring this back to personal, our high school experience. And I feel bad because I don't think that you were actually part of this high school experience, but I think you were in the school while it was happening, which was the TV studio that I was a part of and did the morning announcements with, had won the opportunity for the local country radio station to do their morning show in our studio. So we all had to show up in school super early to get things set up. And then they could not get a signal to go out through the walls of the school to hit their station. So they backed out and left.
Yeah.
But we had all gotten these pieces of paper signed saying, hey, we're going to have this radio station. This is big for our school. You know, we have to be out of all of our classes for the day. So what we decided to do on the fly was, Luckily, we filmed them in the studio and packing up, so we had evidence that we weren't lying about them supposed to be there.
Yeah.
We did our morning announcements, and at the morning announcements, we were just like, yo, we're turning the studio into a radio station for the day. Anybody who wants to come and talk, come on down. We'll do interviews. We'll play live music, whatever. And we basically ran a radio station out of the TV studio for the entire day. And A, it was one of the most fun days of my entire life. But B, when I tell this story to people, a lot of people don't believe me, and I'm hoping that you can justify that I'm not lying about this. The school got very involved with this concept. Like, it wasn't like it was just the 8 studio nerds sitting in the studio just throwing shit on the wall and hoping that it worked. Teachers were, like, sending students down, like, go on down there, go do this thing, promote this dance. Like,
well, that was one of 2 times I was on the show.
Yeah.
So I do remember that very well. That was a really fun day. And I know I went on and I believe I was interviewed for the movie I was doing at the time.
Yeah. Oh, Christian.
Yeah, Christian. Yeah. If you want to get into that. But it was a really cool experience. And I mean, you called it like some kind of takeover.
Yeah, it was the TV studio takeover.
It was cool, and I mean, yeah, it was very busy down there. I recall.
Yeah, so. There was never dead time.
Yeah,
I remember the big thing was I was in charge. I didn't do any of the interviews. I didn't go in front of the camera. I was in charge of making sure that things just kept moving.
Yeah.
So like, I had music queued up, and we had like all these title cards set up. So like, once we had seen that an interview had run its course, we'd give them the wrap-up sign, and they'd be like, all right, we're going to go to some music until the next interview. And then, you know, we'd hit the music, and then we'd run into the studio and start being like, okay, get this guitar out. Get this thing out. Test the mics. And, like, we would test everything, play two or three songs, and then bring the cameras back on for the next segment. And it was so much fun. And I think that gave me the – unknowingly, I didn't know what the fuck podcasting was, but it definitely gave me the bug for what became podcasting, I think.
I think there's nothing quite like doing something live.
Yeah.
And that's why I know other – it's actually very sad that the school we went to, they don't do the morning announcements anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I have the support of my school that they support doing the morning announcements, doing them live, and just I have a lot of backing from my administration, which I know is not always the case in every school.
Well, especially because, I mean, this is nothing against your school or any schools, mm-hmm. but when we were doing it at Sun Valley, it was not the norm for schools to have that program to begin with, and B, it was not the norm for those high schools to be as, like, knowledgeable about how this works. like we were beating out colleges and film festivals and stuff. Like,
that's
it
awesome.
It was unreal for, yeah. And like, it was one of those lightning in a bottle things. I'm actually, you know, it's something that makes me really happy, but it also makes me really sad because, like you said, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And no one, you know, it's one of those things where you do so much and you feel like you're really leaving a legacy somewhere. And, you know, that legacy just gets thrown in the trash and torn down and everything's sold and thrown away a couple years later.
Yeah, I mean, I know I can't understand it from your perspective because you were in a different position than I was, but I think I felt that way because I was almost up for that job.
Yeah.
years ago, and I was very, very upset when I didn't get it, and then when I got the job where I'm currently at, I realized that, you know, a legacy is not about a building, or it is, like, it's a spirit, and I certainly feel like the spirit of that is alive and well where I am.
Yeah, and I think that it carries through. I mean, there's a lot of people that were part of that studio that continue mm-hmm. to do things that they learned from being in that studio. I knew this was going to be a deep, heavy, long episode, so sorry for the people who love this podcast, because it's about 10 to 15 minutes long. So Corey and Sean, realizing they have a very boring show, start to do Lunch Hour Lust, which is basically just like a...
It was like Tinder back then, right?
I was going to say, it was like... what the fuck was the name of the show? It was a radio... Loveline. They basically do Loveline on the air. And then there's the scene where a bunch of girls wander in the studio and say, can we talk to boys too? which is so unrealistic, but that's fantastic.
It is funny to see the evolution of how female characters are written back then.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Jesus.
Night and day.
They're just thirsty all the time.
Well, they're plot devices, yeah. You know, essentially. And it just really makes you can't change it back then, but it is intriguing.
Yeah.
How far we've come in that regard.
So there's a Sean quote that comes up because Feeney gets frustrated. He pulls the cord on their radio show, bans them from the radio, and then they start talking about the Bill of Rights.
Yeah,
and yes. Sean says, he's just being a hypochondriac about this. I love, it's a joke that they used multiple times on this show, but it never stops being funny when people use the wrong word. but this is... We jump back to the Eric plotline for a little bit, and that's when I realized, oh, this is one of the dumb Eric episodes.
Yes, this is kind of when it starts, and it's funny, because even his dad says, when he thinks he's won all that money, well, now we can afford that brain operation.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's bad. He's super dumb in this episode. Yes. But they have Robin Leach. They almost, well, he came so close. spoiler alert for the final scene.
I had forgotten about that whole thing in the 90s. And when I, like, oh, yeah. Oh,
it used to happen all the time. Robin Leach. I just wrote, oh, Robin Leach. Like, there's something that's so classy about him in a weird, fucked up way.
I had forgot. I forgot his name.
And yeah. Then, oh, I never forgot the name Robin Leach. So there's this really weird joke in this episode.
Is it, I wonder if it's the one I'm looking at right now. If it's about Mr. Turner's aunt.
Yes. It's a really surreal. So Mr. Turner goes and tries to convince Feeny that he needs to give Corey and Sean another chance. And Feeny calls him a hippie. And he goes, my Aunt Ruthie was a hippie. And then Mr. Feeny goes, was your Aunt Ruthie at Woodstock? And he goes, no. And he goes, huh. Must have been a different Ruthie Turner.
Like, Feeny, you dog.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Like, but I will say, so Sean and Corey do a pirate radio station instead. And they advise everyone to start dancing in the hallways. And it is so amazingly awkward. It is some of the worst extra dancing I've ever seen in my life.
I wasn't really paying attention to that.
You need to rewatch it. It's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah. I was more looking at Turner and Feeney's reaction. but the thing with that, I love with the Bill of Rights thing where Mr. Feeney's like, oh, next week we're going to be studying the Bill of Rights. Oh, dear. He just knows it's coming. And there's a lot of moments in here I relate to where Turner's trying to get the boys back on the air. And he says, you know, what if they have adult supervision? Who would be the adult? It's like, you're looking at him. And yeah. I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah. Where I'm we're firmly in our 30s.
We are.
Like,
yeah.
We're firmly at the age where when we were in high school, we were adults.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, that's like a, you know, that's a, like, we are definitively adults, as much as it pains me to say it.
We absolutely are, and it's very surreal. It's like just being on the other side watching, like, you're that Marty that got back 10 minutes early, and you're watching yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
So good. I knew you were going to find a way to bring it to Back to the Future.
Of course.
Deep
of course
in my heart, I'm like, you made a time travel comment on the last time you were on the show. And I just kept waiting for it to really go there. So there's this great moment of Sean where Sean also becomes fairly dumb. Actually, no, him and Eric reverse roles, basically. Sean's pretty dumb in the beginning and then becomes the suave ladies' man later on. And this is just a prime, like, young, dumb Sean. Because they're hiding somewhere. Feeny can't figure out where. And Corey says, hey, where are the CDs? And Sean says, oh, they're behind the janitor's bucket.
Yeah.
Which immediately tips Feeny off. And then Feeny opens the door and Sean says, don't move and maybe he won't see us.
Which is clearly
a
Jurassic Park, which came out 2 years earlier.
Yeah. I think it was even a... Oh, no, this is 95. Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a reference to the T-Rex, but
and I remember that scene because they replayed that a lot for the ads for
multiple
the show.
Times. This was in like multiple flashback episodes and yeah. Everything.
That always made me laugh. The other funny Sean thing is when Turner is kind of asking them to explain themselves, and they don't know that they're on air, and he's like, "Pretend I'm stupid," and Sean goes, "We went on the radio," and that also made me laugh harder than I should have.
So the ending of this episode reminds me a lot of the movie Pump Up the Volume, which is a movie that I've loved since probably college. I think I saw it. No, I actually saw it in high school. I love Pump Up the Volume, which is about a pirate radio station DJ. And he connects with all of his other students, classmates, none of them who know who he really is. But all he does is get on the air and talk honestly about what bothers him in high school. And mm-hmm. And there's that connection. And, you know, Mr. Turner says, you just have to be honest. And, you know, I think for me, I really do connect with that because, you know, you've known me most of my life at this mm-hmm. point. You're one of the longest running friends in my life. And I think you've even seen the evolution of Matt, who was putting on a character of who he thought Matt Kelly needed to be, especially in my podcasting career. So much of the podcast was like my personality cranked up a little bit. And like so much of my attitude on social media was always that. And in the last
couple years, I just got sick of wearing the mask and started to just be like, this is who I am, honestly. I'm insecure. I'm depressed. I, you know, struggle with self-esteem. And in doing that, I feel like I've seen an audience grow for the podcast. I've seen people reaching out more and saying, I feel the same way. Like, I thought I was alone in these feelings. And I feel like this episode just does such a beautiful way of capturing, like, you want to be cool. You want to be noticed. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. Be the most genuine you that you can be. And people are going to be like, that's someone who is no bullshit. And I've had, you know, I was talking to a friend about this, but I've had multiple situations where I go out for the Horror Movie Night podcast and I'm interviewing directors and I'm interviewing writers and I'm interviewing actresses. And you've done the same thing that mm-hmm. I've done in certain accounts. So you can testify that the amount of times that those people reach out to you afterwards and like add you on Facebook and follow you on Instagram, rare. That doesn't happen that often. Mm-hmm. That happens at least 50% of the time for me. Mm-hmm. And I asked one of them why, and they're like, I trust you. Like, you mm-hmm. gave off, as soon as I met you, I'm like, this dude is, when he says that he loves something, he genuinely loves it. And if he doesn't like something, he will find the nicest way to tell you. And, you know, I was talking to a coworker about that, and she said, no, I agree. She goes, I think that every time that I've met you, I knew you were giving me your most honest perspective on it. And I love that. I wish that I had paid attention to this episode in high school when I watch it, because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of times that you step back, and I'm sure you do the same thing, where you're like, man, if I could just take the confidence and the lack of insecurity that I have now and just give that to 16-year-old me, it would have been a completely different life.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, not even just high school, but 20s as well. Yeah,
because I realized later, the only person who didn't think I was cool was me. Mm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like,
and maybe me too, but no, I'm just kidding.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, you have that realization of like, oh shit. Like, I didn't talk to people and I avoided people because I was so afraid they'd make fun of me. And now, like, now I have these really cool friendships through Facebook Messenger that I could have been having when I was 16 and 17 and building a real relationship with a person.
Well, you know, I had a moment like that when we went.
Went to the reunion.
I went to the reunion, and I don't know if I've talked about this on here before, but I wound up talking to people that I did not talk to in high school. And I honestly, at the time, I didn't think they were interested in talking to me.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of stayed in my bubble and, you know, hanging out with these folks for several hours. I'm like, these are really cool people. Like, yeah. I wish I had gotten to know you in high school, and I'm grateful for the opportunity now. And Facebook affords us that now, which is great. But, you know, I think we spent so much time, I speak for myself here, but, I spent so much time like seeing myself as like an outcast that I think I avoided friendship in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think that there's any high schoolers that listen to this podcast. But if there are, I'm telling you, you're cooler than you think you are, and you need to step out of your boundaries just a little bit.
Absolutely.
And the rewards of it will be insurmountable.
Authenticity is cool.
Yep. And then there's just one last joke that gets a good punch in there, where their phone lines light up because they've been honest. And Mr. Feeney calls in and he says, first time, long time, or something like that. And he goes, I just would like to know, what do you think is the appropriate punishment for these boys? And Mr. Turner goes, about a week detention. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, my phone's breaking up. I can't hear you. And he goes, oh, a month's detention. And he goes, got you loud and clear that time. And Corey and Sean go, well, that's just one man's opinion. And they go to the phones, and Eric just goes, lock him up and throw away the key.
Can always count on Eric for one last punchline.
Oh, God, it got me so good. But unless there's other things, let's promote real quick the Dork Daily.
Yes, check out dorkdaily.com, daily content, usually movie reviews, different things going on in pop culture, whether it's movies, TV shows, video games. We try to cover it all, so check it out.
All right, and we'll be back with another episode.
And I'll see you for the next time they talk about broadcasting.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be back for season 3.
Yeah.